We're so glad that Reverend DeCanio could be with us. As I said, he's here on vacation, but we're putting him to work, and we're glad the Lord has given him a word for us this morning, and he will come now and bring to us the Lord's word.
Thank you, Dr. Allison, very much. It is very good to be here again in Malvern. I think I said the last time I was here, I almost said good to be here in Liberia. I'm not even sure where I am. I was listening to an interview on the YouTube with former President George W. Bush, and he talked about leaving the White House, and he said, it's like going from 100 miles an hour down to zero instantly when you leave and you go to your ranch, as he did in Crawford, Texas. And I feel like that leaving Liberia. The night that I came here, I had to move. Well, I started to move throughout the week. As most of you know, I know you keep up with a lot of the details of the work out there through Paulsey and Dr. Allison. But, as you know, we were scrambling to get the house built because my lease was running out. We had even extended the lease for my apartment, and the house wasn't done. The windows weren't in, the doors weren't in, and I was scrambling to keep my cool and get the workers moving along so we could get things done. I have to say, even as I left that night, the windows weren't still in. We got the window bars up. And the front door wasn't on, and I managed to give some money to one of our security men and said, you go out and buy a metal door. You can get them made right on the street, and we'll just put that up there temporarily. Joanne Greer was kind enough to put most of my valuable things in her apartment, and then many of the other things I have, which are valuable, my books and all. I don't know if people would steal books. We put them in the house. So I feel like racing, and then jump on the plane trying to get everything done that needed to be done before leaving. I said in the Sunday school this morning that I think in many ways we don't realize, at least I didn't, how much administrative work there is that has to be done. And we're trying to train some of the Liberians to do that. Some of them are doing a very, very good job. All of them are doing a good job. Everybody has different gifts and abilities. But to do some of those things that are more the mechanics of the church, the taxes, the employment things, all that red tape with the government when you are an official organization. So I come today, as Dr. Allison said, on vacation, and it's nice to get a break. And I have to say I'm very tired. I've done nothing but really lie around, a little bit of shopping, a lot of eating, but that's supposed to be during Christmas, and I've been enjoying a time with my family here. But when I come back to Malvern, I always feel like I'm coming home, because I grew up in this area. Now, I have to say, I don't envy your accent. I am thankful that I have lost some of that Philadelphia accent. Don't be offended at that. Dr. Cairns, actually, when I was preaching one time in class, said, what is this, the word on, for on the table? On. We're supposed to say on, and not dog, but dog. And so I'm trying to get rid of some of that, but it's good to be back here in Philadelphia. I want to ask you to turn to Acts chapter 9. I wrestled with what to preach on this morning, really, and I know oftentimes when missionaries come off the field, the emphasis that they bring is a missions emphasis, and perhaps a here am I, send me word. That's sort of what I believe the Lord is leading me to preach today. Acts chapter 9, just a phrase there where we have that event, a tremendous event, really, because this event in Acts chapter 9, we have to say, really transformed the world. When I said this morning in Sunday school about how I believe the Protestant Reformation so much transformed Western civilization, it was a great revival. And you see the lack of that when you get into countries that are not developing. You see what really God did in America through the influence of John Calvin, John Knox, those in Northern Ireland who came to establish our country upon the Word of God and the Christianity, and define everything from the family, biblically, and all those other things that are absolutely important in our society. Yet when you come to Acts chapter 9, you have to say there was a greater move here, because this was the conversion of Paul, the apostle. And Paul wrote the majority of the New Testament. And Paul preached the gospel all throughout the Roman Empire. Dr. Allison had said earlier that, I'm at large as a missionary. Some people may think I'm indecisive. But I have to say it's Paul's labors that struck me as he moved throughout the Roman Empire. He went here, stayed there for 2 years, and went to another place and so on. And I feel that that is much of my call in ministry. And the Lord did call me. It wasn't me that called myself. And that's sort of the theme I want to speak on today, the call of God. Let me read the passage up to verse 22, and then pick one verse out for you and talk about that, preach to you this morning from that. Acts chapter 9, we read, "And Saul, yet or still breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. The men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. He was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. And then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed, and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And our reading there, let's just pray and ask the Lord to help us today as we look at his word. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we have the great privilege to come and gather around thy word. We're thankful for the Lord's day that you've given us to rest from the cares of this life. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst help us to fix our minds upon thee, that thou wouldst help us to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, that thou wouldst help us as the word of God is open before us this hour. Lord, we pray that if there be any in this room that are fighting against the call of God, or even perhaps by what seems to be a good motive of fear, yet, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst help them, thou wouldst bring them to thyself. We pray that they may give themselves to do thy will even in their lives. We pray, Lord, for those that are among us that are outside of Christ, that thou wouldst save them this day. We are reminded that thou hast told us that salvation is of the Lord. And we pray, O Lord, that thou wouldst do that work that none of us can do. And we pray, Lord, that the word of God would be that instrument that thou hast indeed ordained to save souls even this morning. We commit this hour to thee. We pray, Lord, that we may know the power of God. Every one of us may know the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Lord, do help me, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. I'm coming to deal with Paul the Apostle. As I said a moment ago, it is a tremendous portion of Scripture that shows us the conversion of a man who is completely a candidate to be not converted. He is one that is fighting against the Lord. It's interesting because when you look at Paul's life, you would say he was never one that would be converted and following after the Lord because of the fact that he was so much against the things of the Lord. Even as we read here, when he got saved, they were amazed at it because his whole purpose for coming to the place where he was, Damascus, was to take Christians and put them into prison. But what it shows you is that what's impossible with men is absolutely possible with God. That God is able to do the work that no man can do. And God is able to save souls. But you look at the life of Paul the Apostle after he gets saved, and you do notice very clearly that he's a man that is called to the service of the Lord. We have today many in Bible-believing circles that believe that you can be saved and yet then you just are saved to sit. But that's not really true for the Christian. A person that truly knows the Lord is saved to serve the Lord, and every person that is truly saved, they will serve the Lord, and God has called us all to serve Him. I would often, when I was growing up, hear messages about giving my life over to serve the Lord. And I would be very convicted by that because I knew in the depths of my heart that God was calling me to the gospel ministry. When I come home here, just the area of being around here reminds me so much of that. It was in Pensauk in New Jersey, just over the Taconi-Palmyra Bridge, that the Lord was dealing with me in a little house there off of Route 130 in the very basement as I lay upon the bed, dealing with me about the call to the ministry. And I was scared to death to follow the Lord in the ministry. And I knew that God was calling me to this. I knew that it was a call even at that time to the service of missions. And I fought that until one night the Lord in great power wrestled my soul right to the ground to where I literally had no choice but to say, Lord, here am I, send me. And I often think of Paul the Apostle because after he got saved, we read in the context of the fear of Ananias, the word of the Lord to Ananias about Paul, about his ministry, about what God had told him that he was going to do. And it's so interesting how the Lord begins the statement to Ananias there in verse 15 of the chapter. The Lord said unto Ananias, unto him, go thy way. In other words, go speak to Paul, for or because he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And I am struck just by that first phrase even that says there that he is a chosen vessel unto me. A chosen vessel unto me. And I want to think about that this morning. And I want us all to think about it really because if we're saved, we have been chosen by the Lord to serve. Wherever the Lord places you, one of the things that I believe so greatly influenced Western civilization was the teaching of John Calvin that no matter where God calls you into whatever sphere of service for Him, everybody, no matter what they do in their labors, whether you be a farmer or whether you be a school teacher or whatever it may be, all of us have the call of God. That is absolutely what transformed Western civilization. When everybody understood, no matter where they were placed by God, though it wasn't in what is often called full-time Christian service, they have the call of God. And so everybody did their work as unto the Lord. And when the Puritans came to this country, or the Puritan dissenters, the Pilgrims, when they came, they labored as unto the Lord, no matter what their calling was. John Calvin said, as well as the Bible saying, that God does set some men aside to the gospel ministry. God does set some to a higher calling. Not to say that other callings are not the call of God. They are the call of God. We are all chosen vessels to serve the Lord after we're saved. But God does set some men aside for the gospel ministry. And God does set women aside, though not for the gospel ministry, not for that ministry of being ordained, but what we like to call full-time Christian service, to the work of missions, to labor in the gospel, in that sphere that God has placed them. And I say that because I don't want you women to think that this is not a message for you. I said in Sunday school this morning about the work in Liberia. It is not an easy work. Oftentimes we would say in Kenya, do you think we need more laborers to come from Northern Ireland or North America? And we would often think, not really. We have a lot of laborers. What we need is those nationals to be raised up to work. And that's not to stop and say we don't want anybody coming to the field, but sometimes we think if we have more missionaries that would solve the difficulties. We need the Lord to raise up nationals. But in coming to Liberia, I have to say that even as Joanne and I have been laboring there, we've been talking about this. Really, in Liberia, it is very much different than Kenya, because it is a growing nation that's tried to establish itself. It has had years of war. Many people are uneducated. It is very difficult to do the work of God. And I believe that what we need is more laborers from our countries here to go out and labor there to help in the work of God. It is my prayer that God would call people here, and that you even today would ask yourself that question: has God called me? I would never say to you, yes, come to the field. I wouldn't encourage you to do that, because you have to have the call of God. But God can use anybody that is saved and sold out for Christ in any part of the world. That's my prayer, that we would even this morning consider that you would think about that. Just giving you some practical lessons regarding our service for the Lord, our leading with God, and the call to labor in, if I might use that term as I have, that full-time Christian service, that work of God. I want you to notice, first of all, from that phrase there, and the context really, that the Lord says to Ananias that Paul here is a chosen vessel unto me. We very much understand the doctrine of election in the Bible, and that God has chosen us unto salvation. But the Lord is saying even more here in the context, that He has chosen unto me to bear my name. I've chosen him to be set apart from those common things of this life, to give himself to the work of the gospel ministry. And the fact is that God does set his hand upon some men, not all men, but some men for the gospel ministry. That word chosen is simply the word, the act, the action of picking out. When you think of picking out, it means you are drawing one out from among others and setting them aside. We say that with the gospel and with election. That is why grace is so amazing. We are all in the cesspool of sin, and God picks us out from among those that love their sin and will continue on to hell. We loved our sin just as much as those that were left to their sin, but God chose us out of that cesspool of sin and placed us on a path of righteousness to follow him. But those that are saved, God sets others out apart for that gospel ministry. It is a calling of God that is in many ways unique. It is a high calling. It is not to say that Christians broadly are not, as I said, called of God, or that Christians are not spiritual, and here it's only the minister that's spiritual. One of the things I think happened, I remember at Bob Jones University, some of the young preacher boys went into the ministry. They weren't really called, and they would testify the reason they went into the ministry was because they felt that the preacher was a super saint. He was specially sanctified. But that's not true in regard to the doctrine of sanctification. We're all growing in grace. But God does set some apart for a particular calling. And that's what Paul had. It was a picking out from among the rest. And really, when you think about it, he says here, he is a chosen vessel unto me. And that tells you that that is all God's doing. It is not your choice or my choice to say, I'm called to the ministry, or I'm called to labor full-time in missions. It is God that does it. It is God that sets that person aside. It's most interesting when you look at the call of God, and it is a fascinating study in the Bible, of all the servants of the Lord, the callings are all the same way. It is God Himself that sends men into the work. You take Abraham, for example, and who can deny the great work that Abraham did through the power of God? Abraham, when he was called of the Lord in Genesis chapter 12, do you notice just how the Lord chooses to phrase it to us? Genesis 12:1, it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred." Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. It doesn't just say that Abraham decided to go to a foreign country out from his own country. It doesn't say that. Now, he did decide. There's no doubt that there was a decision on Abraham's part. But the fact of the matter is the first part of the verse says, "Now the Lord had said, Abraham, get out." And you might just pass that by. But it was the Lord Himself, the eternal God of heaven and earth, the God of all eternity, that said to this man, "You get out and you go." And that's the Lord Himself. It's in Jeremiah as well. You remember Jeremiah when he was called of God and he was ordained a prophet? It says very clearly in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, "Then the word of the Lord," Jeremiah says, "came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee." And that is the word to set apart. "And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." That again, that's the word of the Lord that came to that man and said, and you know, the reality is, I can testify to this to myself. When you're called to the gospel ministry, you cannot explain how you know, you just know. You know that the Lord is telling you that you can do nothing else but this. I think that's the most fearful thing about not being blameless as a minister and having to leave the ministry. It's almost as if you've been born for this and you know that this is what God has called you to do. You know that He set you aside for this high calling and this work. It is the Lord that has done it. It is not man. You remember Moses. Moses argued with the Lord. Moses didn't feel he had the gifts. And who does have all the gifts that they need? Who is a perfect servant? Not a one of us. He argued with the Lord. But you look at Moses' call. Exodus chapter 3, verse 4, we read, "And God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh." That was the Lord. "Come now therefore," the Lord says, "I will send thee unto Pharaoh." When Paul the Apostle labored in the gospel, his testimony was very much the same. In Galatians 1, he says, "But when it pleased God," not pleased me, he says, "when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace," he goes on to say, "I had nothing to do with it. I am Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead." You think about what Paul says, "I'm an apostle." And of course, the word apostle, as you know, is the word to send. It's the one that has been sent. "I am Paul the sent one, not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ." Paul said when he spoke to Timothy, and no doubt wanted him to understand this, because Timothy, he knew he had the call of God to the ministry, and he said to Timothy, "Timothy, whereunto I am ordained," when he spoke about his calling, "I am ordained a preacher and an apostle."
I speak the truth in Christ, I lie not. That word ordained is translated in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 11 as appointed, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentile. And the word appointed or ordained is the word to set, to put, or to place. We need to remember that it is truly the Lord that calls us to the ministry. And perhaps even this morning, there are some here that you know the Lord is calling you to the ministry. Now, when preachers would say that, and I would hear that, that would bother me so much because I knew the Lord was calling me to the ministry. The first year when I left home to go to train for the ministry in college, I went to a small Christian liberal arts college in Cape May, New Jersey, called Shelton College. We had 5 students. The state of New Jersey had just denied us the right as a school to grant degrees, and everybody was worried about a degree. I didn't even know what a degree was because I knew nothing about education, because I didn't even want to learn anything. I struggled all through school. And yet God called me to the ministry and sent me off to school, and I went. And for that first year, people say, what are you doing? What are you training for? What are you learning in the college? I said, Bible is my major. History is my minor. Oh, what are you going to do with Bible? I'm going to be a preacher. Oh, that's nice that you want to do that. And I would say to them in all seriousness, I don't want to do it. And in the back of my mind, I was hoping that God would still let me go and let me get away. That's why I would say that to them. I don't want to do this. And I knew it was the Lord calling me. And I was convicted by it. I would say to you today, that's something that needs to be thought upon among the people of God. A chosen vessel. Is the Lord choosing you? Is the Lord calling you? Is the Lord setting you aside? You may have all your plans to do many, many things, and yet the Lord is calling you to the ministry. You know, in Liberia and even in Kenya, it's really a prestigious thing to be a minister. It's actually considered very much like another job. If you can't find anything else to do, then you go into the ministry. But that's not what this is at all. This is a call of God. And that's something to remember. The second thing I want us to notice here from this is that God has a perfect timing in the call, the timing of the Lord. You notice here that the Lord says unto Ananias, he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Well, I think there's a progression in that. Paul the Apostle didn't get saved in Damascus and immediately step out, did he, before the kings. Paul the Apostle went step by step, and he was prepared by God all the way through. When you read about Paul's life and conversion, you immediately find that it was a long time, it seemed, before he actually went full-fledged into the gospel ministry. It is true that immediately when he got saved, verse 20 tells us straightway, which means immediately, he preached Christ. That's true. But as entering into the gospel ministry, that was a slow progression. I have to say, I look at that even in my own life, in the call to the ministry of the gospel. And I say that simply because I was called to the ministry at age 16. And I began my training at age 18. And I was not ordained to the gospel ministry until age 44. And all that time I did labor in the gospel. But the fact is, it was not the Lord was not in a hurry. And the fact is, God has his perfect timing in the call. The Lord doesn't just launch us right into it. And I think that was the greatest thing that kept me from wanting to do the will of God. I thought it would be a harsh thing. I thought God would throw me right into the deep end immediately, and that's not what the Lord did. But that's not what the Lord did with Paul either. In chapter 9, verse 19, it says, he resided certain days with the disciples in Damascus. That's the first thing we find out about him. He resided certain days with the disciples. Why? What did they talk about? Did he find encouragement there? Did the Lord strengthen him there? You find in verse 20, as I said, straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue in Damascus. He wasn't standing yet before kings. He was in a synagogue. He was just sharing what Christ had done for him. Verse 22, he continued preaching in Damascus, confounding the Jews. We read later that he was let down by the wall after he came to Jerusalem. The apostles feared him. That was in the providence of God. Of course, Barnabas took him and encouraged him, but the apostles were afraid of him. They didn't just bring him right into the ministry. Reminds me of coming into the free church. Remember when I applied, I had to write to Mr. Greer, and I don't think I could find his address. Every time I asked about it, I was pushed away. That was the method that they used to make sure that I was serious. Well, the fact is, I knew God had called me, so I had to keep pressing ahead. I believe the Lord had called me to this church and this witness. And so there's a delay, and it goes on. And then you read that in verse or chapter 11, if you go further, in verse 25, notice there, you read that it speaks about Barnabas, and you read that Paul had gone back to Tarsus and then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. Saul went home. He was there in Tarsus. And then we read later that Barnabas and Saul, they come to Antioch. They are there for 1 year. And in Antioch is where they're laboring in the gospel. You can see that Saul is not even called Paul. Saul's not the preeminent one. Barnabas' name is first all throughout the beginning there. It was Barnabas leading and Saul along with him going to help those that were under a great famine in Jerusalem and needing financial aid. And they were taking money. That's what they were doing. That was the labor of Paul the Apostle. We even read for a time that in somewhere in his ministry that he went into Arabia and he was there for quite some time, perhaps 3 years, learning. And God was working in all that time. And really, we find that God is not in a hurry. You may have the call of God today. And it's very important that you straightway do what God has called you to do. But it's also important that you wait upon the Lord. The Lord's timing is always perfect. That you remember that Saul was certain days with the disciples, and there were many days fulfilled in Paul's ministry after the Jews were told in Acts 9 took counsel to kill him. The fact of the matter is, God knows what he's doing. I think the reality is, if we were thrown right away into the ministry and we had any element of success, we would become very proud very quickly. The Lord tells us that. He says that even with the call of God, the man that goes into the ministry as he's giving the qualifications for a minister to Timothy, he says he's not to be a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Not a novice. What's the word novice mean? It's the word that means newly planted. Simply, that he's not to be a young, immature Christian. That he has to be a man of some maturity. And that's why the Lord delays. That's why the Lord's timing, absolutely perfect. And so often you find, and I have to say this, I've seen this in our own denomination, men are sometimes very eager to get out of seminary. Now, I was like that. The Lord put me in seminary for 14 years. I mean, who ever heard of such a thing? I was 4 years in college, 2.5 years at Faith Theological Seminary at Elkins Park, Pennsylvania. Another, then, I went down to Bob Jones and they started me again 3 years. I came to the Free Church. They started me all over again. And then Dr. Cairns decided the first year we were in, he just pushed that whole year aside into the trash can, and he set up 2 more years and made us do the courses over again. That might have been because of me. I wasn't getting it. But the fact is, the Lord wasn't in a hurry, but I was in a hurry. And I remember being drawn into Dr. Cairns' office, and he says, you better buckle down here. He knew I wasn't giving it my all. And it made me very sober to say, yes, No, I started well. I was very diligent in the beginning, but I got weary. I got tired after 14 years. But I had to come to realize that the Lord was dealing with me. He wanted me to know something more that I was missing, perhaps because of lethargy, and coming to understand how important it is, the timing of the Lord. The Lord knows that a novice, men in our seminary, I can think of some that aren't with us anymore, and they were so eager to get out and get on with the work. They got on and into the work, and it didn't last. Now, that's not everyone. Sometimes a work doesn't last. God can have men on hold for a while. Some of our ministers have been out for a while and then come back and done a great work. There's some that are just in a rush and they want to do everything now. That person has to be a prepared man. As I said, Paul, when he was first called, he said, I went into Arabia and then I returned unto Damascus. And he was there for quite some time. The Lord was teaching him. The Lord was training him. It's interesting in Isaiah 6 where we get a vision of heaven. You're familiar with that passage. And that is a portion that the missionaries will often use. Isaiah 6 is that portion where you read the Isaiah saying, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then Isaiah says, here am I, send me. And we often don't realize the context of that. The context is a very humble man who sees the glory of God and says, woe is me. I'm undone. That which a novice will not say. I'm undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of an unclean people. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then we read one of the angels, the seraphim, takes that coal from off the altar and lays it upon his mouth. And the Lord says, lo, this hath touched thy lips. And then we read the phrase, thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged. And then he says, and then we hear the words, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Here am I, send me. That is the lips of that man. No doubt the picture of being anointed to speak for the Lord. But the sins purged. That man had to know something, Isaiah, had to know something of the sinfulness of himself before God before he could be sent of God. And sometimes we get proud and think we're indispensable to the work of God. And God needs to show us. God needs to prepare us. God needs to train us. You remember what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:21, speaking about sins, if a man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet, ready for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. That man is going to be sanctified and meet, meaning he's going to be profitable, he's going to be easy to use, he's going to be useful. That's what the verse says. It's something we have to remember. I think Joanne would testify to you of her desire very strongly when she knew she had the leading of the Lord to come as a missionary to Liberia, how eager she was to come. But she knew that in the providence of God that door had not yet opened. And even as we're there now, both of us, we can see that in the first time she was called, it would be very difficult to labor out there without having what we have in place now, because we had no one on the ground. And it was in the providence of the Lord that she had to wait. It was in the providence of the Lord she went to Kenya and was able even to teach in the BCFC Christian Academy. That was all in the providence of the Lord. And that was in the training. I can tell you, I look back at my own life and the many open doors and opportunities and the things that I've been able to do. And yet now that I get on the field, I am using those things. Never thought I would. But the Lord had His time, His training. Everything is perfect in the Lord's timing. We need, as the Lord's servants, to be confident of this very thing, that He that begins a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That is speaking about your sanctification. But that involves your service and your labors for the Lord. And He knows the way that I take. I being in the way, the Lord led me. He is aware of all that. He is more than aware. He is leading us. And when He's tried me, I shall come forth as gold. The Lord brings us, the Bible says in Psalm 66, into a wealthy place. The Lord brings us, Scripture says, into a net of affliction and affliction upon our loins. And then the Lord says He brings us out into a wealthy place. And that is the way the Lord works. And we have to remember the timing of the Lord. And the third thing just to notice, and by way of implication in our text, by the way Paul labored and worked with the Lord, that God requires of His own servants a patience to wait. As I said a minute ago, there is a danger of running ahead of the Lord and going and running too quickly. And I'm always reminded of Jeremiah's words there. It was the Lord's words in the prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 32. And it's a very sobering thing. And it is where the Lord says about the preachers of that day, some of them, I sent them not, neither commanded them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. There has to be in the heart of God's people a patience. Yes, they should straightway preach Christ, but when it comes to the law, a call of God, that God will work in His own time, in His own way. Psalm 37, verse 34 says, wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. The Bible tells us in the Psalms that promotion comes not from the north or the south or the east or the west. It's not man that directs you into the steps of the call of God where you should be, but it is the Lord Himself. Spurgeon said, if it be the Lord's will to bring you into His ministry, He has already appointed your place of service. And though you know it not at present, you shall at a proper time. If you have the talents of an angel, you could do no good with them till His hour is come, until He leads you to the people whom He has determined to bless by your means. And that is so important that we look at both sides of that, that there is the urgency and there is the call, and God is calling men to the ministry and women to the labor in the foreign mission field. But we must be sure we're patient and in the perfect timing and the perfect will of the Lord. It is Paul the Apostle that knew very clearly that in the ministry that he was given, it wasn't him exalting himself because he knew he didn't deserve anything. He understood because before he was a blasphemer, he was a persecutor, he was injurious. But he says, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly. I did it when I was an unbeliever. And the grace of the Lord was abundant towards me, he says, in love, which is in Christ. And he says, of course, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And that was all in the context of his service for the Lord. So thereby he could be patient. He knew that he had not called himself to this. He knew that God was in full control. And I tell you by my own experience that when I was afraid of the ministry in the early days, my tendency was to stay back. But that was a good thing because I didn't run ahead of the Lord. But as you go further in the ministry, your tendency then as you get a great vision for the work is to run ahead. And you must be very careful. That's what I want to share with you today. That God sets His hand upon a man for the call to the ministry. You young men that are here today. Is God calling you? You say, well, no, because I'm in this university and I'm under this major and I'm doing this. At the end of the day, God may put you there for purposes that relate to the ministry. How many pastors, preachers have you heard, especially in Presbyterian circles, say that they were first going to law school? Don't know why God does that. Maybe they had to learn to think and learn to debate and argue and defend. But that's the reality. God can put you in an area for a time only by way of preparation to bring you to something else. Is God calling some of you men to the ministry? What about you women? Is God calling you to the foreign mission field? You say, well, I'm in training at something else. Well, Joanne Greer was in training as a nurse. I think I'm right in saying she wondered even if that was God's will for her at a time, and then saw it was missions. But yet God uses that. I can tell you, He uses it in Liberia. We see accidents and crashes all the time. Joanne with her medical kit, she's teaching me things. She's using that, stopping someone from bleeding. You know, in Liberia, people die because someone didn't know how to stop bleeding. And I tell you no lie, I've seen it with my own eyes. And people stand over people, dead people that are dying in a car crash, and they're praying. I said to one man, get legs to your prayer and save that man's life. Well, she went to nursing school. Now, you can pray, but at the end of the day, there's other practical things. And God may lead you in areas that later in the mission field you would use, and you don't even know that. By being in the way, the Lord led me. And so don't write off God's will in your life for something like a call to the foreign field. But the fact of the matter is, the Lord raises up people from every background. You might think you're not educated. Well, the Lord has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. You may not be the doctorate type. I'm not. Dr. Allison's very smart. I don't like lecturing in the same room with him. But at the end of the day, God has called you. And you are an individual. You are the way God made you. Now, we should try and study and work and labor. But God has given you gifts. Don't say, I can't be used there. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty for the simple reason that no flesh should glory in His presence. Not about you and me. It's about the Lord. And it is the glory that goes to the Lord. And so God sets His hand upon men for the call. God has a perfect timing in that call. And thereby God requires patience. And patience involves obedience. Are you willing to follow the Lord? As a believer, are you afraid because you think, well, what can I do for God? I do believe with all my soul that we need laborers in Liberia. I wouldn't have said that in Kenya. We had a lot of laborers out there, a lot of teams coming out. But in Liberia, that's a need. But I can't call you. But is God calling you to labor on the foreign field? Is God calling you to do a work of service for Him? You labor out there in Liberia, you'll not be, this is a Presbyterian church, we're interdependent, you'll not be your own, running off and doing your own thing. We work and labor through committee. Things are voted on and decided, then you get let loose, you're not restrained. But at the end of the day, if God is calling you to a place like Liberia, you need to say like Isaiah, here am I, send me. You need not be discouraged. You need to wait on the Lord and seek the Lord's leading and direction. I trust the Lord will use that word to us today. The Lord said unto Ananias, go thy way, for he, Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Let's close our meeting today with a word of prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed. Perhaps today the Lord is calling you as a young man to the ministry. And you might say there in your heart to the Lord, without a lie, you don't want to lie to the Lord, but you might say, Lord, here am I, send me. If you want me into the gospel ministry, you show me. If you want me to labor in a foreign field, Lord, you show me. Perhaps there is some woman here today, some young lady that says, well, I feel the call of God. Perhaps there's a couple, a family, that feels the call of God. There's a need for families. We're building large houses. Perhaps the call of God has come to you. You say, here am I, Lord, send me. Am I a chosen vessel to bear the Lord's name to the Gentiles? Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would use this simple word to lodge deep within the hearts of thy people. And Lord, we know that it is the word of God that is the power. And Lord, how often it is that we can think those of us that have been called to this type of service for Thee have heard that message and how it struck a chord in our soul that we could not flee from. And Lord, we pray that thy work would be done today in the heart of those that have the call. Lord, let none be deceived if they have not the call of thee for this type of service afar or to that service of the ministry. But Lord, if they do, we pray that they wouldn't fight it. They would yield themselves to thee. And Lord, we know there's no greater joy than serving thee. And we thank thee for all that thou hast done for us. We know this is all of thy grace, that even as we think of that day, Lord, in the kingdom, when it says his servants shall serve him, and it is a joy to serve thee. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst even give fruit for the preaching of the word this hour. Dismiss us now from the house of God with thy blessing. Help us to keep the Lord's day and honor it, and bring us back tonight safely. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.